Heart and the Crack of Dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Alan Salem. He's related to me sometimes. When he's behaving himself, he's related to me, and when he's not, he's the son of my wife.
No, it's actually, it's depending on who I meet, is if you're my uncle or my dad.
I'm your uncle or your aunt?
No, that's something new, but no, I said uncle or my dad.
Oh, I got you. All right, anyway, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair. It's at I-17 in Deer Valley, full-service, family-owned operation. Tom, I've known him from the late 70s to the early 80s. He's the owner of the repair shop, and he is a great guy. He's honest. He's dependable. And if I've had one complaint in 20 years on him, he actually handled it before I could even get involved. The customer had written me a note. It took me a couple hours to get to a phone, and I called him back, and he says, it's already handled. Call the customer. It's already handled. So he's a good guy. He has ASE Master Certified Technicians, and they get the job done right. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have an auto repair shop, may I suggest that you try Action Auto Repair. He's, like I said, he's a good guy. All righty. I'm going to talk about something that happened this week, because there's probably a perception out there that we're perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe not you, but all of us.
No, that perception is reality.
Oh, that is? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so we're going to wash some dirty laundry here. We had a situation last week here at the shop that confounded all of us. We just really struggled with the whole situation. It started out like this. One of our new techs was seen by the shop foreman on pushing down on a hood after it had already been closed.
Yeah, almost like performing CPR on it, kind of using both hands in front of you and kind of pushing down on it, yes.
All right. So many of the hoods are held up by the rod.
Prop rod, yep.
The prop rod. And what happens to technicians is they'll forget the prop rod is there, because 99% of the other cars have shock absorbers on the hood. So all you do is you reach up, grab a hold of the hood, and you bring it down and shut it. Well, if it's got the prop rod, then what happens is you bring it down and you bend the hood.
Right.
And you put kind of an elbow in the, let's say the prop rod's on the left side, the passenger side, so you create this bend in the hood.
Yep.
So the technician's going to slam the hood, and then he's going to do like CPR on the hood to try to bend it straight.
Right.
That's what we had. So we called the customer, and we asked the customer, did you have damage to your hood before? And the customer said no.
Right.
First he said, honestly, I don't know. But I need to look at the damage, but there's damage other places. Now, the whole passenger side of the Sienna is scratched up. Somebody's kind of driven by Braille on the right side.
Yeah, the left front of the bumper and.
And the grill.
Yeah, and the grill.
And so there's damage to the grill. There's the left front bumper's come apart from its mounts. We just screwed that back in for him. But the right side of the car's got some damage, some body damage on it. So he came and looked at it, and he goes, no, I'm pretty sure that's fresh damage. That I hadn't seen that before. Actually, it's not in front of the driver. It's over in front of the passenger, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So we start talking to everybody. And for the first time ever in the history of our shop, we actually looked at the interior cameras at a technician's behavior. We've never done that before. It's never been needed before. So clearly, you can see he's pushing down on the hood. So we ask him about it. Did you bend that hood? And he said no. So we do an investigation, and we talk to the customer, and here's what we find out. This was kind of interesting. The customer's been a customer of ours for 15 years, something like that. We've done virtually all the work on all his cars. So the question to the staff was, had this hood been bent before? Which means that it would bend again and again and again, because we've kind of taken...
Easier every time.
Every time.
Yep.
So we didn't know if this was the first time it had been bent, second, third, or fourth.
Right.
So, but when we looked at his history, we knew that no matter what, if it was the fourth one, the third one, the second one, or the first one, it was still ours.
Right.
No question about it.
Right.
And so we have two different issues here. We got the employee, and we got the customer. Well, in our world, if there's a tie, it goes to the customer?
Right, absolutely.
Okay. So this wasn't even a tie because this customer had been in, and we saw the oil changes every 3, 4, 5,000 miles. We just knew that even if we didn't bend it then, we bent it before. So we told the customer, we're going to take care of the hood. And the customer said, well, can you do something about the bumper? And we said, yeah, we'll fix that for you. But it's not going to be, I mean, we're not going to, it's, some of the parts are broken, but we're going to fix it, and it's going to hold together. But some of the little plastic clips and stuff like that, the little eyelets were broken. So we put some washers on it, and we made it look nice, but we, it wasn't no fixing it without replacing it.
Right.
So the grill wasn't no big deal. We know we didn't cause the grill to be damaged because somebody hit something with the grill.
Yeah, that was evident in also the hood and the bumper as well, the spidering of the bumper, yeah.
Okay, so those were old stuff.
Yes.
So we got two things. We're going to take care of the hood. So we ordered a brand new hood. We had it painted. We stuck it on the van. We're done.
Right.
He's happy.
Mm-hmm.
We got to deal with the employee.
Yeah.
So what happened?
We just talked to him, and I said to him, I said, did you, it's, you know, I kind of had my doubts going in from, on many different things. I was really kind of confused about the whole thing. I had a lot of mixed feelings, because for someone to do that to a prop rod, you've really got to hammer that hood down. I mean, it's not easy to do that. The second you go to put excessive pressure on that hood, you know something's holding it up. So I had that to think about, but the other thing that I was thinking about was I walked out there and I was looking at it myself, and I spent a good amount of time out there looking at it, and I put my hand just up on that hood with the weight of strictly my hand, 1 pound maybe, and it began to bend again.
This is with the hood propped up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very, very easy, which indicated to me it had obviously been bent before, but it had obviously, it may have been bent numerous times before. So that being said, we talked to the employee, and he said, I put that hood down and it was bowed here. I tried to straighten it out. He says, I for sure didn't try to slam the hood on it, or I didn't slam the hood on it, but I attempted to fix that portion of the hood by pressing it down. And I believed him. I believed him. I didn't know if it was the I didn't feel like it was the first time that this had happened to this hood.
Okay, and let me explain that. The top part of the hood is smooth, but
right?
The underside of the hood has what we call superstructure.
Yeah, structure under it.
Okay, so it the entire outside edge of the hood has channel on it,
right,
to give it strength. So when you bend a particular part of the hood, you have to bend that superstructure. The first time you bend it, it's hard. And then each subsequent time it gets easier. And then finally the superstructure breaks, and now the hood's flimsy as heck.
Right. And that's what it was like.
Flimsy.
Yeah, real flimsy.
Okay. Now, it was later that Andy, your sister and my daughter, she figured out that the guy had been in a lot of times. This wasn't his first rodeo. This wasn't his first visit. He wasn't trying to hang us out to dry on the damage to the grill, the damage to the bumper, and the damage to the hood.
That's right.
We're always concerned with that on a new customer, and all of a sudden the vehicle ends up all kinds of damaged.
Right.
Okay. That's part of the reason why we put the cameras throughout the shop is to gather that data. So
right,
it came in this way or it left this way. But the part I liked about it, now this guy had not even been through his 6 months probation.
That's right.
I liked about it is the day before, a week before, he lifted up a Dodge truck and it had air suspension on it.
Airbags, yep.
And he didn't know that. So when he raised the truck off the rear axle, it blew up or ripped one of the airbags.
Right.
And the minute he did that, what happened?
He came in and told us.
He just said, I screwed up. I raised this thing up in the air. I didn't know it had airbags on it, and one of the airbags came apart.
Right. And just to be clear, it wasn't a factory airbag, because some of those trucks come with factory airbags, which is okay. But this was an aftermarket. It was a towing airbag, and basically the rear axle was being held up by the rubber airbag, which caused it to rip.
So when you lift it up, the rear axle dangles, mm-hmm, and there's not enough room there. Now, there's a lot of airbags that don't do that. It depends,
right,
on the quality. It depends on the price.
Right.
And these were kind of inexpensive. So, but the customer was a great guy,
right,
too.
Yep.
And he was an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said to him, we're going to take care of this. Because,
mm-hmm,
obviously it happened on our watch. It wasn't really our fault, but it happened on our watch.
Right.
So Andy gets an airbag. I think she got it warrantied.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I think she got it warrantied. So we installed it, and he's happy. And we explained to him, you have to tell everybody if they're going to lift it up by the frame because you got airbags in the back.
Right.
So you really need to be on a drive-on hoist.
You can't. Yeah, you can't lift it up by the frame.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to have it on a drive-on hoist.
So you're going to drive it on a ramp type of hoist. Mm-hmm. So you can't dangle the rear axle. So we had an example of him telling the truth right off the bat.
Right.
This is what happened. So you get together with Andy, and then the shop foreman gets involved, and you guys come up with no harm, no foul.
Right.
We're going to pay for the hood. We're going to fix the customer's bumper the best we can. We're going to give him, put him in a rental car for the whole time that we've got his truck
right.
or his van. And as far as the technician is concerned, I think you extended his probation for 6 months.
That's correct.
So he comes in with 6 months. Now he's on a year. But we've explained to him that we're going to keep you.
2 minutes.
Right.
And we explained to him that we value you. He is a good tech.
We also explained to him that, and this is just part of shop protocol, but he that any damage prior to him working on a vehicle, when he pulls a vehicle around or even goes out to the parking lot, that he needs to document all the damage on the vehicle. Just to kind of keep us safe. If there had been a note on this that the hood appeared to have been buckled previously, none of this would have been an issue.
All right. Do you remember the time, 10 years ago, a guy came in, a really nice guy, a customer of ours, and he said, you know, this damage to my Honda hood was never there before. So we looked it over, and we couldn't find any damage to the vehicles on the shop floor, any damage to our property. We watched it throughout the security cameras, but we never saw the front end of it. So we said, you know what, we can't say that we did or we didn't, and I think I wrote him an $800 check, something like that. So fast forward a year later, he comes to the shop. He still does business with us, and he says, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, sure. And we went up to my office, and I'm thinking, well, we damaged his car again. And he says, here's your money back. And I said, well, why are you giving me my money back? And he goes, well, my daughter the other night at dinner admitted she hit the tongue of the horse trailer. And he says, you had already paid for it. So he said, I'm giving you your money back because it wasn't you. And he goes, why did you give me my money back? And I says, well, I look at your customer number. We're at 38,000 and you're like 11,000. You've been around a long time.
Right.
We've never had a problem with you. You've never bounced a check. You've never yelled at us. We do your daughters, your sons, your wife, your mother-in-law. We do a lot of cars for you. And I couldn't prove that we didn't do it.
Right.
And in spite of that, I couldn't say that another customer damaged your car while it's on our lot, because it looked like somebody with a trailer hitch had backed into the front end of this thing.
Right.
And in fact, what it turned out to be was exactly that.
Right.
They had hit the hitch of a boat trailer or a horse trailer. I don't know which one it was. Anyway, 602-508-0960. It's a car show. So if you want to talk about car problems or a problem with your car, or if you want to talk about symptoms, that's the best way to do it. Give us the year, make, and model and the mileage of your car, and we're going to discuss the symptoms with you. So you give us the symptoms, and we ask you questions, and we do our best to get as close as we can. 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Let's see. It's 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and Alan Salem is sitting next to me, and we're here taking your calls about car and car repair. We've got a couple of callers, so we're going to go to them right after this 15-second. The only shop in Mesa that is on our best car repair shops list is Thompson's Auto Repair. Since 1970, Thompson's has been around Mesa. I think they're on their second generation of owners, and Brian and Thelma are the kinds of people that you hope would move in next door to you. You only have to meet them and shake their hand to understand why I say that. But Thompson's Auto Repair has ASE-certified technicians. He does light truck and maintenance services to anybody in Mesa, or anybody for that matter. They'll also let you know when your vehicle is typically due for service, so it's kind of easy and convenient to keep your vehicle in tip-top shape because they guide you. They tell you what to do and what not to do. That's kind of important. So Thompson's Auto Repair is on Main Street, just east of Stapley, south side of the road. Main, Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. Good morning, John. How can we help you this morning?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, I've got a Dodge Journey. It's a 2015, and the factory calls for a 520 conventional oil. Is there any reason that I can't use a full synthetic that is 040 weight?
Oh, yeah, there's a reason. Yeah, your computer doesn't want to see that drag on your motor. Your computer doesn't want to see anything close to 40 weight. And it will negatively impact your fuel economy. Because instead of having water in your engine, and I use that as a descriptive word, you're going to put peanut butter in your engine. But why don't you put a 0-20 synthetic in there?
Well, I could, except I wanted to use the same oil that I use on my truck, so it'd be easier for me.
Okay. Yeah, they're just two different animals. So, I'm not... You wouldn't give a 10-year-old child the same cough medicine as you give this kid sitting next to me that's, that I think you trim the scale at 220 or something like that.
In fifth grade,
yeah. So no, I think that's a bad idea. Now, let me explain. Conventional oil has a 3,000-mile oil change interval. Semi-synthetic is 3 to 7, and then 7 to 12,000 is a synthetic. So if you went with a synthetic, how many miles a year do you drive on the journey?
I bought it used, and I've only had it for a year, so I'm guessing 20,000 or less.
Okay, so if you put a 12,000-mile oil in there or a 10,000-mile synthetic in there and you do 20 a year, you'd only need two oil changes. There's some savings right there.
Okay.
All right, but a 20,000 and a 3,000, a conventional oil, you're going to need six oil changes to do 20,000 miles. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but is your truck a diesel?
No.
No, it's a Ranger.
Okay.
Ranger?
Yeah.
You said Dodge Journey, right?
No, that's the van, but he puts 040 on his truck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, a couple things. Are you sure they call for a conventional? I've not heard of a 2015, any vehicles calling for a conventional.
Well, the dealer with whom I had a service contract wanted to put conventional oil in it. And I paid an additional amount to have the synthetic put in.
What does the cap say, the oil cap?
The oil cap doesn't say either conventional or synthetic.
It just says
all I know is that the dealer wanted to use the conventional.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that we've run into on some Dodges, now I'm not sure, does your vehicle have displacement on demand, which is where it cuts out cylinders at higher speeds?
No, it's a four-cylinder.
Four-cylinder, okay. I know that some of the Dodges we've been working on with these Hemis, and if you change oils, it affects the solenoids that run that system. So oil is very pertinent to that specific system, the weight that's described. So that would be another reason I would. Make sure not to switch it too much.
We never had this problem before, John, because it didn't make any difference. We started at 30 weight and we went to 80 weight, and realistically, an engine oil was from 30 to 50 weight, and we had everything in between. So back in the 60s and the 70s and to somewhat the 80s, but it changed altogether in the 1990s, and certainly it's changed in the last 7 years. So we've got cars out there with 0-20 in them, and people were afraid of that. But in reality, that is absolutely the best oil for these newer model cars, including yours. It's going to last longer. It's going to have a lot less sludge. You're going to have better oil pressure. You're going to have better oil volume. You're going to have a smaller amount of wear. If I said that before, I'm sorry. And if you use a 0-20, and I agree with Alan, I don't know that I've seen a conventional 0-20. I don't think I've ever seen it.
It was a 5-20.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. No. I don't know that I've seen a 520 conventional. I've seen a 530, but I don't know that I've seen a 520.
Yeah. The only thing we pour in the zero weights is the 020 and the 030 in a synthetic.
Yeah.
That's all we pour because we can't see putting a high dollar engine oil in your car and changing it every 3,000 miles when we know that we're secure in letting you go, 8 or 10,000 at the very minimum. So I would keep the 040 and your journey separately. I know it's a hassle, but if you buy them in gallon containers, you've only got two. And besides that, go into the garage and move some of your wife's crap off that shelf so you got a little bit of room for the oil.
Oh, that's an idea. Okay, thanks.
All righty. Thank you very much, John. Jim, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, I've got two questions. If you've got time for both, one about a 2007 Mustang and one about a 2007 Lexus IS 250.
I'll take one, be quick, and then we're going to take a break, and then I'll take the other.
Oh, okay. All right, well, here's the Mustang question.
Okay.
I've got a 2007 Mustang GT. It's got 83,000 miles on it. Check engine light comes on and flashes. The air conditioning doesn't shut off, but it kind of blows moist, warm air.
Okay.
And the engine runs like crap. I mean, it's probably running. It feels like it's running on six cylinders, but
okay,
I mean, it runs terrible.
Okay, real quick.
Lasts for 30
stop,
seconds and then goes away.
Stop for a minute. If you turn off the air, does all of that go away?
Well, it doesn't last long enough. I haven't actually had the opportunity to try that.
Okay. That's going to make a difference, because if you need to determine the question, that the answer to that question, because it's going to save you some diagnostic money. So if you walk in there and say, hey, this thing, when it runs like crap, the air conditioning is activated. And as soon as I turn off the air, and I know it runs like crap every 17 and a half minutes, and so if I turn off the air, and it's kind of tough in Phoenix, I can go 30 minutes with no problem, with no drivability concern. So 83,000 miles is not enough for the air conditioning to just fail, but if the air conditioning is going on and off, because it's low on refrigerant, or there's a problem with the cooling fan, the head pressure's too high, or the low pressure's kicking it off, then the idle in the car is going to go crazy, too, because when the air conditioning's working, we want a higher idle. When the air conditioning's not, we want a lower
idle.
1 minute. So if it's cycling on-off, which is your smell and your lukewarm and your high humidity air coming out of it, that's when the air conditioning's off, then they go hand in hand. So if it's just an idle surging issue where we go up and down with the idle, and coincidentally we get all that air conditioning issue, then those are tied together. And so probably with that kind of a in-your-face kind of comment, they're going to focus on the air conditioning in your car and work there. Now, hang on right there, because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to take your second question, Jim. So anybody else? The lines are open except for Jim's. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Jim on a second question. And if you'd like to join us, you can. We'll tell you the truth, but I also want to read you a success story that we had just not too long ago, which drives home the point why you should always get a second estimate. It's important to always get a second estimate, and I'll tell you why. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Alan Salem, and we're here at your service. Let me tell you about a really great shop. IMM Auto Services in Tempe. They're in the northeast corner of Tempe. IMM can virtually fix any car in your garage, and here's why the rest of us can't. IMM are experts in Volvo, Saabs, Fiat, and Alfa Romeos, and very few of the rest of us, no matter if we still do Hondas and Toyotas and Mitsubishis and Nissans, we don't necessarily work on those Volvo, Saabs, Alfa Romeo, and Fiats because they need special equipment and because you have to access parts, and sometimes you better have an idea on where to go to get parts. But IMM also works on the Honda, the Toyota, the Chevrolet, the Chrysler, and the Ford. So they've been around since 1972. They offer a great warranty. They have ASE Master Techs working on your car, and the ASE Master Techs can work on the domestic as well as the imports. But again, Swedish, Italian, or Asian vehicles, all of those are covered right there at IMM Auto Service. Jim left, but he had a situation. Oh, okay. Jim left because he had a situation where he had a check engine light. He had two problems, check engine light blinking, and then he also had the air conditioning was cycling on and off because of the moisture and because of the smell. The check engine light, I didn't cover that, but the check engine light indicates there's a severe misfire. So they're seeing lots of raw fuel come through the tailpipe, and they know there's a severe misfire. It's very likely he has two separate problems. It's not likely that the ECM is going to shut down the air conditioning on a severe misfire. That just doesn't make sense. But and I don't know what the other car was, so I don't know how old the technology is on it. So it is possible that if they have a severe misfire, they will shut the air off.
Right. It was an 07 Mustang.
Well, no, but remember, he had two cars.
And then he had an 07 Lexus.
Was it? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So if it was an 07 Lexus, then that's 10 years old. So I doubt very seriously if it had the technology back then to know to shut the air off. But you fix the misfire first, and then you see if the air situation is there.
Right.
All righty. So we're going to go to Len. Len, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark.
Yes?
I got a question for you on a 2006 Honda Civic Hybrid.
Okay.
It says the electric power steering unit is going bad. Are there any aftermarkets on those, and can shops fix them less expensive than dealers?
Well, the answer is I don't know for sure. What's the name of that place that does all the aftermarket copies?
Dorman.
Dorman.
That's what I was just thinking.
D-O-E-R-H-M-A-N. I think that's it.
No, I think that's how we spell our friend's name. It's I think it's D-O-H.
Okay.
D-O-R-M-A-N. I don't think there's an H in it. I think it's...
You're right. D-O-R-M-A-N. Yeah. Go to their website, and they just start making batteries for hybrids.
Yeah, they got all kinds
of
crazy
make
stuff
that the manufacturers, for instance, we might have a bad window regulator in a Honda, and it breaks constantly. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's a POS from the very beginning. They take and redesign a window regulator for that Honda, and they fix the problem that it had. So we see that all the time. So the question on whether they have an electronic column, because you've got an electric motor that has two sensors that tells it when to turn left and when to turn right. So I bet your estimate was probably no less than 1,400 and maybe no higher than 2,000?
About 24 plus a wheel alignment from the dealers.
All right.
That's about 20, 25, I think.
Did you get them to break that down?
Yes, I did. I don't have it with me
okay,
right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, the unit was 23-something installed.
Okay, plus the alignment, plus sales tax license. And
That included the sales tax.
Okay. 2 minutes.
That included the sales tax. So I was just wondering if there was any shops out here that you knew of in the North Valley, you know, North Phoenix, North Scottsdale, that would be worth giving a call to and seeing if they could do anything with it.
You're far better to drive by, and not on Monday morning or Friday nights for obvious reasons, but Air Park Auto is up on Raintree and Hayden.
Okay.
And it certainly is appropriate to pull in and go up front and say to them, I've been told that my electronic steering is bad. I have the car outside. I have my registration here that has the VIN number on it in case you need that. First of all, is that something you can do? And can I leave my name and phone number? And at your convenience, could you call me with an estimate? We're going to work off of mine and theirs diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And then I want to know if you can access any other parts other than the manufacturer parts.
Yeah. I understand that, about 10 years ago, they started putting the electric steering...
1 minute.
The electric steering on all these vehicles now. Is that pretty much standard now? I've been away from it for so long.
Yeah, it's getting very popular.
It is, but we're also finding out now, just like you're finding out, that while it gets popular and it's probably a little easier to drive because your power steering today is completely dependent on how fast the pump is turning. So at idle, it's different than at 50 miles an hour, where electronic steering, that you don't have that variable to deal with. So, yes, we're seeing them more. Yes, we're seeing that they're going to give or take $2,000 to replace them. How many miles are on your Civic?
About 130.
Okay, and I'm going to say that we are not seeing these earlier than 100K.
So okay.
You had a gas model and the pump came apart and contaminated the rack, then we've got the pump, the two lines, the reservoir, and the rack, and a flush, and an alignment, and you're still doggone close to $2,000.
That's on a conventional power steering.
Yeah, that's assuming the pump blows up and contaminates everything, which is what we see sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to draw the difference between the two numbers.
I know you've said in the past that in many cases that a lot of the aftermarket parts are actually better than the OEMs from the manufacturers because they've figured out the bugs on them after 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years.
That's true, but there is no such thing as an aftermarket part. It's made by Moog or Felpro. It's made by them and boxed there. Not too long ago, ironically enough, Ford's coming out with their own parts, and it's a secondary box. So they have Motorcraft Ford. That's the best. And then we've got this other name, and I forget what it is, but there's another name for their other parts. Now, there's no such thing as a factory that makes Ford ball joints or Ford engines, for that matter. The fact of the matter is they buy all that stuff from someone else. In this case, you can get on the internet, go to Dorman, D-O-R-M-A-N, and punch in and see if they've got an electronic steering
I don't
column.
See one. I'm looking right now.
All right.
I don't see one on there.
It's probably proprietary then to the manufacturer, to Honda.
It could very well be, but you can still get on the internet and see if you can find a rebuilt one.
Okay. And so like I say, it's a hybrid too, you know, and it's not my car, and it's just like, I would never get one of those, but that's just me.
Okay. Well, it's not that difficult to replace that, you've got to reset it. So you got to tell it where all the way left and all the way right is, and you got to talk to the computer while you do that, and then you got to align it. But the labor's kind of intensive, but it's not you know, the same as pulling the engine. Anyway, thanks, Len. Thank you very much, and we're going to put you down for electronic steering, and we're going to take a break. The phone lines are open, 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Alan. Alan owns our Salem Performance Division, where he deals with hot rod trucks, hot rod cars, lifts them, lowers them, tires and wheels, exhaust and programming. Did I cover everything?
Mm-hmm.
Diesels. All right. And diesels. We do lots of diesel work. So if you have any of those kinds of questions, Alan is your guy. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Let's see what time it is. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Alan Salem is here with me, and we're talking about cars and car repair. The lines are open, 602-508-0960, but I want to tell you why it's important to get a second opinion. Okay, this is an email that I've got, and are you ready yet?
This chair, we need to get this chair replaced.
That chair has a weight limit of like 300, okay? So there's a problem.
Well, we should be okay, slightly.
All righty. This question is for my elderly female neighbor. 100,000-mile car, starts and immediately dies. Add a little throttle, it'll catch and rev. Back off the throttle, sometimes it dies. It has a very low idle, and sometimes it has no throttle response whatsoever. She took it to a tire shop, keyword there, tire mm-hmm. shop. Mm-hmm. And they diagnosed the throttle body was bad, and they wanted $1,400 to fix it. I was looking for a second opinion. This is the repair, okay? The repair says that we went inside and we found all kinds of codes that indicate that the throttle body is acting up.
Okay.
There was a low volume, there's a high volume, the throttle circuit motor, the actuator stuck, and the actuator's closed. So it's got all kinds of throttle body problems. Clearly that's the problem. This is what it says. We removed the throttle body from the intake and we removed the cover of the throttle body and found it was rusted and gummed up and it had water inside of it. We cleaned and lubricated all the gears, reassembled the motor, and we resealed the cover with silicone to keep the water out. The throttle blades are now responding properly. We cleared the codes. We drove it for 12 miles with no issues whatsoever. Now, the tire shop was $1,400. The repair on this was $362.56. Now, we've learned from this because we've done a couple of these ourselves. And we really like the people with a $1,400 estimate, and they really like us when they come in and it's a $362 final.
Right.
It was just a matter of a gray-haired guy that said, I want to figure out what's wrong with this throttle body. And he finds out that it's got a bunch of water in it, and this cover isn't really sealed with anything. So he takes it apart and he goes, I can fix this. So he just, you know that rust stuff that you paint on and it takes the rust off of stuff?
Yeah.
He used that. Then with some water, then he sprayed it with WD-40 to drive the water out. Then he dried it out with shop air. He put a little alcohol in there, which absorbs its weight in water. Then he siliconed the cover, put it back on, and he siliconed the cover to keep the water out.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's a big deal. So that's the reason why we talk about it's really important to get a second opinion.
Now, but, the $1,400 would have fixed the problem.
Yeah.
However, just for $1,100 more.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was nothing wrong with the throttle body. Why didn't somebody there take the cover off of it? There's only a couple screws.
Right,
and look inside there and say, geez, look, this is the problem. You take a picture and you text it to the customer and say, this is your problem.
Right.
More than likely, they'd have bought it at that point.
Right.
The question really is well, they didn't do that, so they just threw it. Now, let me tell you something. I bid this myself. Okay? You know what my bid was?
What?
$1,357, parts, labor, sales tax, shop supplies, and environmental charges included. And theirs was $1,400. So there's no difference there. We're $40 cheaper than they are. And I'm not proud of that, and I'm not sad about that.
Right.
But the bottom line is we're right in line. So I got to give the tire shop an attaboy because their pricing, at least, is verified through our shop.
And their diagnosis was correct.
Yes.
However,
that was the only option they offered the customer.
Right.
Okay. And that has a lot to do with experience.
Sure.
And where the gray-haired guy lives.
It has a lot to do with people who aren't scared of doing that kind of stuff either.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. The gray-haired guys are just, well, we've been there, done that. We took generators apart when everybody else was throwing them away, and we were putting brushes in them. We took alternators apart and fixed them with regulators and with diode trios and all that kind of stuff. When everybody else was just, it's called R&R, remove and replace, remove and replace. So it's just, let's stick a rebuild unit on there. Well, a lot of us are capable of fixing it. I mean, with a flashlight, you can look at the rear brushes 90% of the time, and if one of them is not touching the armature, then why don't we just put a set of $12 brushes in it, and it's going to be an hour and a half's worth of labor, and that's all that package there is a whole lot cheaper than an alternator and the labor, and plus the diagnosis.
Right.
So those are the kinds of issues that we have. 602-508-0960, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. BMW got in trouble the other day with the Federal Trade Commission. Did you know that, Alan?
No, I didn't know that.
The Federal Trade Commission charges that BMW illegally made warranties conditional on customers having all oil changes performed by authorized service dealers. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, a lot.
How many times have we heard that? They said that BMW violated the tie-in provision of the Magnuson-Moss Act. Now, folks, you've heard me tell you about the Magnuson-Moss Act 100,000 times. And the Magnuson-Moss Act says that if you buy our vacuum cleaner and we insist that you use our vacuum bag, we have to provide you the bag for free. If, remember when Toyota said that you can only use Toyota filters?
Right.
Magnuson-Moss Act. They said, well, if they have to use a Toyota filter with the Toyota name on it, then you have to provide it for free. That crap stopped real quick.
Right.
All of a sudden, Fram and everybody else is fine. So that's what we see in here with Dexos, the General Motors the dealerships with Dexos. Now, folks, Dexos is the name of the GM oil. It's just a line in the sand. Otherwise, it's a line, a horizontal line that says this oil has to meet this standard. Virtually every other oil today, every other company, Chevron, Valvoline, Havoline, Pennzoil, Castrol, they all have a Dexos oil because that oil supersedes the line.
Right.
It's above the minimum requirements.
Meet or exceeds.
There you go. Thank you very much for that. Meet or exceeds. So when your dealer says that you have to have us do any work, now it's true during the warranty period.
Right.
So if it's free work, then you don't have a choice. But if it's work that you pay for and the young man or young lady says to you, you have to have it done here, then you should look up the Magnuson-Moss Act. Actually, it's Magnuson-Moss Act, M-A-G-N-U-S, Moss Act of 1975. So that's kind of an interesting comment when it comes to the those kinds of things that go on. And likewise, it's just as important to understand your independent shop can't do that. And some of the aftermarket warranty companies want to direct you to their shops to do all your service in order to keep your insurance policy put intact, and you can't do that either. Hyundai's recalling 500,000 Sonatas and Accents for two separate issues. The 2011 and 12 Sonatas were manufactured with too much metal flashing on certain engine components, which can break off and wreak havoc on the motor's internals. Now, let me read that again. It says, too much metal flashing on certain engine components, which can break off and wreak havoc on your motor's internals. Let me tell you what's going on. Pieces, big, huge pieces of metal inside the engines are breaking off and blowing your engine up.
Right. Is that like casting metal?
Yes. It's probably at the bottom of the cylinder. You know how they got that little ear on the bottom of the cylinder? So it's probably breaking off there where the piston skirt is at, or it could be the piston skirt's breaking off.
Or are we
off.
Just talking about like rough castings? You know,
it's rough castings. It's parts of rough castings that extend past to where they need to be.
Right. Or behind or below or whatever. Yeah.
So they word it nice. But and then the accents could suffer from a faulty brake light switch. Now, there's nothing other than short of getting rear-ended that the faulty brake light switch is going to do unless your cruise control is attached to it. And if you set your cruise control and the cancellation mechanism of your cruise control happens to be the brake light switch, then the brake light switch is going to be an important part of that.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question. You're driving on the road, you hit your cruise control, and it lights up, and you're doing 65 miles an hour all by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to hit the brake pedal, and nothing happens. So you hit it again and again and again. Nothing happens. What do you do?
The first thing I would do is put it in neutral.
Okay. And that's exactly what you do. Because the motor's not going to blow up. They all have a speed limiter on them.
Rev limiter, yeah.
Yeah, rev limiter. RPM limiter.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that particular point, you don't shut it off because you want power steering and brakes. By shooting it, by lifting it up into neutral, then more than likely it's going to return to normal. If it doesn't return to normal, you can just cycle the key off, cycle it back on while you're coasting at 60 miles an hour, start it up, and that cancels your cruise control. So all of those kinds of things. But the most important thing is if you have a stuck throttle or anything wrong with the car and it's going faster than you want it to go, don't shut the key off. Throw it in neutral. Who cares about the engine's going to rev up? And just pull off to the side of the road. You still have power steering and brakes. And then you shut the key off.
Right.
If you shut the key off, you lose power steering and brakes. And when you pull off to the side of the road, you're going to have to steer and brake the car, and the effort's going to be twice or three times what you're expecting it to be. So that's the reason why we don't shut the motor off. Again, the computer on all the cars will only let the motor reach a certain RPM, and after that it won't work. Unless, of course, it's one of our trucks.
And that's right.
We take the rev limiters out of them, so we can go faster than we really should. And then the NHTSA says the accent, the faulty brake light switch, leads to a host of potential issues, the biggest of which is if he's using the cruise control. Actually, this is the second paragraph I never got to. The switch might not trip when the brake pedal is pressed and the cruise control won't disengage. So that's exactly what we were talking about.
Right.
So if you have an accent, and let me find the numbers here, the accent for two separate issues. They talked about the Sonata. They don't say what recalls. Oh, it's 2009 through 2011 accents, a faulty brake light switch that could lead to your cruise control kind of sticking and won't disengage. So anyway, if you have that car, you probably ought to get it in for repairs. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Larry Harker's Auto is over on 38th Avenue in Indian School. And Bob, who runs the shop, is probably one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. And what's part of it being the best diagnostician is three things: age, gray hair, and a tremendous knowledge of how a car is supposed to function and how all the systems lock fingers together. They're all interlaced, so to speak. So Bob's really good, and Larry Harker's has been open since 1967. Now they do oil changes, and they do water pumps and radiators, and they do vehicle missions, and they do vehicle maintenance. But if you've got a problem that no one else has been able to fix, if you've got a problem that you want the very best guy in town to be looking for, Bob's the kind of guy that will shoot you a diagnostic price. Then he'll find your problem, he'll bid the repair, and he'll call you with that. So there's three parts of everybody's bill. You got the diagnostic process, the parts, and then the labor. Those are the issues that you're going to deal with when it comes to that kind of stuff. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. We didn't really have any other exciting things that's happened to us in a while, but we have had our fair share of, would you check this over? And we had a guy with a Q45, and I think I sent you this email. His issue was that he had some drive shaft problems. Now, he didn't ever write me back, but I asked him who diagnosed it as being a drive shaft vibration.
Right.
I suspect it's him. So he took it to shop number one. They did drive shaft work, and then that didn't fix it. Then he took it to shop number two, and I don't know what they did, but that didn't fix it either. So my question to him was, it's a pretty simple question. The question is this: did either one of those guys change the vibration? Because if they both worked on the drive shaft, maybe one of them balanced it, maybe one of them put new U-joints in it, whatever they did,
1 minute.
The issue is did it make any difference?
Right.
If it made no difference, then after two repairs on the drive shaft, the conclusion is it ain't the drive shaft. That's all there is to it.
Right.
And if you want to know what a vibration on a drive shaft is we'll put a hose clamp around that thing and strap a 3-ounce weight to it from a tire, and then we'll show you what a vibration feels like. So it could be lots of other things. I remember we did a vibration, and there was a piece of cardboard in the trunk that was vibrating real bad, and it sounded like a vibration. But the air was coming up through the wheel well because of some rust, and this piece of cardboard was flapping like crazy. So it, and it was related to the speed, because the faster you went, then the faster the air came in the hole.
Right.
So it's hard to say I fixed your vibration by resecuring this piece of cardboard. As you can understand, that's kind of a hard sell.
Right.
Especially if the bill's $125 because it took you an hour to figure the thing out. I'm Mark Salem. He's Alan Salem. We'll be back for another hour of Car Talk. And you're welcome to join us at 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
This was a paid.
Mark Salem here along with Alan Salem. We're both here at your service on every Saturday from 10 o'clock to noon. You're welcome to chime in at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or even 15 minutes till the top of the hour. We'll take care of you. Automatic Transmission Exchange is at the same location on 40th Street in Washington since 1968. There's three guys there. There's Phil, there's Paul, and there's Trey. All three of them know transmission's pretty doggone good. So if I were you and I had a problem and I was in Central Phoenix, I'd probably stop by Monday through Friday and I'd ask them if they'd take a drive. But you need to work hard in being able to make it happen. So figure out what it is. Is the engine cold? Is the engine hot? Air on, air off, turn left, turn right, hard throttle, not throttle, manual shift, automatic shift. Those are the questions they need in order to help you and help you save money in the diagnostic process. 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. Before we go to the calls, I want to brag.
Okay.
Now, Gil, do you have any applause?
I don't.
Okay, all right. Well, then, Alan, you clap when we're done. Folks, I'm as good as the information you give me. And there has to be dialogue between the two of us. So after numerous emails, try this, try that, here's the answer. Mark, I cannot thank you enough for contacting me here in Tucson. I'm the guy who changed my fuel filter, and my truck was heart starting afterwards, a diesel.
Oh.
I had no fuel leaks.
Duramax?
I don't know. In your call, you explained that the rubber seal was probably damaged and it was sucking air. That was it. Thank you so much. The truck is running great now. I wish you had a shop in Tucson. Thank you, Nick. That really sounds like you're really excited about that. So anyway, you helped me with that one. And
yeah.
It probably was a Duramax. All righty, I got another one right here. It says, Mark, recently I had emailed you about an overheating issue with my 3000 GT. You advised replacing the radiator based on my symptoms. That brought the car back to life again. Thank you for your expertise, Lyle. So, thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. The point I'm trying to drive home is it's give and take. On Lyle, I said, does it overheat around the city? He says, no. It runs about half to three quarters. What does it run when you're on the highway doing 70, 80 miles an hour? Oh, that's when it gets up close to the red zone. The radiator's plugged. So that's as easy as it gets, but there has to be that kind of exchange. Watch this exchange. Jay, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Actually, Jay, drop will go to Bob.
Bob, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Mark, hi. First, I want to say I miss Bob.
You'll have to turn yourself down a little bit.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I miss Bob and Steve at Quality Transmission. Yes. That was the only transmission shop I ever looked forward to going to.
I understand.
He misses them.
Yeah. And, you know, we all miss him, but Bob had to retire. You know, his wife Bonnie had passed away, and he figured out that, you know, there was a second life for him. So, Quality Transmission is no more, and we're sorry, too.
Yep. My son has a 2014 GMC, and, you know, you were talking about oil weight. You know, he's got to use that 0W20 oil weight, you know. And he's out of town all summer, so he's running it out to the max. You know, on the oil life monitor, because I'm not there to change it for him, so he's got to pay somebody, you know.
Right.
So I go on Rock Auto, and then I look for oil filters, you know, and they're all the way from 99 cents to, you know, $12.99. Do you think it's worth it to buy, like, a high-end synthetic oil filter?
No. No, I don't want a high-end, and I don't want one that has some kind of internal workings that cleans your oil better than the others, and I don't want one that says that it has impregnated with detergent. I just want an oil filter with a name brand that I recognize.
Yeah, I think you don't want the 99-cent one, and I think you don't want the $12.99 one. I think you find one in the middle.
And just a Fram. I mean, what's the matter with a Fram or an AC Delco or a Mopar? And to be perfectly honest with you, virtually every oil filter is made by Champ. And so if you find a CHAMP filter, that's really the home base of the entire oil filter world. One of the home bases of the entire oil filter world. So what are some of those fancy dancy oil filters that what is their marketing strategy?
I don't know. I mean, I have that one on my truck that was like $300 that I clean every like 5,000 miles. But I don't know exactly what it does. I can tell you what it does.
What?
I'll tell you what it does.
Yeah?
It makes my truck faster than yours, and so I'm just going to continue to use it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. How come you won't race me then?
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Anyways.
How come you won't race me? You won't race me, you chicken. I'll tell that story, but let me also say that your $300 oil filter, that's a heck of a lot of $5 and $6 oil filters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you probably will never be paid for that fancy-dancy oil filter. And if I'm not mistaken, I even have one on my truck because you put one on my truck.
Yeah, you might.
All right.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so I'm just as mad at you as you ought to be at you because we got a spin on oil filter. So if you take $300 and divide it by six, buddy, you're talking 50 oil changes.
Right. Oh,
you're not going to have the truck at 50 oil changes. Neither am I.
It's a waste thing.
It's a waste thing. Oh, so now all of a sudden you're wearing green underwear?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that just started. I can tell you that much, right? So anyway, Bob, I agree with Alan. Just find a name brand. Find something in the middle. But I want to tell you something. There was a time in the last 3 or 4 years we could buy oil filters for $2 in bulk.
Right.
I could buy case by case by case of the most predominant, the Chevy, the Ford, the Toyota, the Chrysler, the Dodge. I could do that for $1.99 to $2.25. So at Rock Auto, you're going to pay $1.99 for the fuel filter or the oil filter, but you're going to have to pay shipping and sales tax. And by the time you get done, you might as well just go to here local, and you're going to be within a dollar of that anyway, and you don't have to wait a day or two to get it.
Right.
So anyway, that's our opinion, Bob. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you very much. Air Park Auto Service is up on Raintree and Hayden in North Scottsdale. Air Park Auto is run by Nadine. Nadine and Stacy opened Air Park Auto in 1985, and they were friends of my wife Renee and I. Stacy passed away 3 or 4 years ago, and Nadine stayed at the shop. And I want to tell you, if you're looking for, you ladies, if you're looking to deal with someone, a lady owned and operated shop, then clearly you're going to want to hang on to Nadine's name and Air Park Auto. She's been around, she knows cars, she knows people, and she knows right from wrong. So Hayden Road is, you know where Hayden is, but Raintree is about 4 or 5 blocks south of Frank Lloyd Wright, or another word for Bell Road. So if you live in that North Scottsdale area and you don't have a car repair shop, may I suggest that Air Park Auto is a place that maybe you'll
stop by.
Tom
is your next caller. Tom.
Tom, good morning to you. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah, I've got a 89 Chevy S10 pickup.
Okay.
With a 4.3 liter V6 in it.
Okay.
I think it was for about maybe half the day, my brake light came on inside on the dash.
Okay.
And now as soon as you turn the key on or start it up, the brake light flashes 6 fast times and then stops and then does it 6 more times again.
Okay.
And keeps doing that the whole time the vehicle, the keys are in the ignition.
Okay. What color is the brake light? Red or orange or yellow?
Red.
Okay. I've never had. I mean, how many S10s with a 4.3 have we owned?
Well, a lot. It's 89, so it's OBD1.
Okay.
So it's given a code.
Okay.
We just need to figure out what that code is. You said it flashes 6 times.
Yeah, 6 very fast times.
Okay.
Very quick.
And then goes off and then
it
does it again.
On,
okay.
And it flashes again.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this much: if you've got a red brake light on and it's flashing, red means stop, and that's going to mean that I see something critical in your brakes. Now, the most predominant thing is that you're bypassing one or two of the axles. So you don't know it, but you don't have any front brakes, or you don't know it and you don't have any rear brakes. And there's a proportioning valve, and the proportioning valve has to have equal pressure on either side of this submarine. Okay, I want you to picture a submarine in the middle, and I want you to see a passageway of fluid on both sides. So if both sides are at 100, the submarine stays in the center. But if one side is 100 and the other is 20, then the 100 is going to push the submarine over to the other side. So when you have uneven pressure, the proportioning valve sees that, and it turns the light on. Now, probably it's tied, like Alan said, OBD1, onboard diagnostics 1. We're at OBD2 right now. But that causes the code to flash saying, hey, we've got uneven pressure. It could also depend, and I don't think yours has a level sensor in the master cylinder, and I'm quite sure it doesn't, but look for electrical wires on the reservoir. And okay, if you don't have any electrical wires, that's not it. And the other thing might very well be that it sees some, I don't think you have speed sensors on an 89, but if one of the tires, well, how do you know you don't?
I've had the thing for about 6 years now, and I don't remember seeing or reading anything about that.
Okay, does it have ABS?
No.
Okay, all right. So I don't know the answer, but I think if you've got a code that's flashing six times, and it is OBD1, I think Alan's right. I think you can probably go to one of those three-whiskered kids at the auto parts store and ask him to read the code. And if he gives you a code of uneven pressure, then the question is why do I have uneven pressure? And I'd say 50% of the time it's going to be the master cylinder is the problem. What we do is disconnect the two lines, and we hook gauges to the two ports on the master cylinder. The biggest port is the front brakes, and the small reservoir is the back brakes. And so we pump the brake pedal a couple of times, and we should see a 50 split. So if the front end is at 100, then the back end is at 50, but it all makes its way to the proportioning valve in a different fashion, so it stays centered. But in this particular case, you just have a difference. So that's what I would do. I would probably just take it to an auto parts store, but I also want to warn you, red means stop. So not knowing what's the matter with it, I want you to be prepared for the worst. So downshift or apply the brakes.
Real quick, is it possible it's five short and one longer?
No, they're all just as quick, but the last one after it flashes, it stays on red. Then it starts flashing six again.
Yeah, so it's a long one. I'm looking that up on our Diag software right now, and it appears, I was just reading it, where is it at here? I just lost it. Give me a second.
All right, you keep looking. Has it had a brake flush fluid in a long, long time, or have you ever done it?
I haven't done the brake fluid on it, and it is somewhat dark.
Erratic speed sensor signal.
Recently, about maybe 2 months ago, I did the front brakes, everything all new. And the rear brakes, I went ahead and checked, and I've never done them since I've had the truck.
Okay.
But they still look like they were about 70, 80% pad.
Okay, well, I'm not concerned about the pad so much as I am the fluid. If the fluid looks like burnt coffee or looks really, really dark, that might be something that you want to deal with. And obviously, you're going to put fresh fluid in the master cylinder and then take it out of each one of the four wheels. Alan said that code, the way you describe it, appears to be a erratic speed sensor. Now, the speed sensor could be on one of the wheels or maybe on the differential, but it could also be in the tail shaft of the transmission. And if you have an erratic speed sensor, there might be a little tick in the speedometer. So you might see that needle not move slowly, but it could be at 50 and then it drops to 42 and comes back to 50 or something like that.
My son had the vehicle about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And he said he noticed when they were moving that the speedometer went to zero, then started climbing up sporadically.
Okay.
And ever since then, it's been fine.
Okay. Well, the speed sensor is probably in the tail shaft of the transmission, and I would not go buy a speed sensor because it's more likely that the gear inside there, which are made of plastic, is probably missing a tooth or two after this truck is, you know, obviously 17 years old. So you might want to take a look at the entire drive and driven gear, because they have a drive gear and a driven gear. And so as you pull the speed sensor out of the back of the transmission, you're holding the driven gear and the drive gear is in the hole. So you want to make sure both of those are not missing any teeth and both of those look pristine. And if that's the case, then you can replace the sensor. But it's a guess, and obviously you run a risk with that.
And he meant 27 years, by the way. His math's a little off.
You know what? You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I know I am.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Anyway, go ahead. We got to take a break.
You know what I'm going to do when we take a break? I'm going to pour my Coke on your head is what I'm going to do. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 28 years, isn't it? Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Alan Salem sitting here at your service. The lines are wide open. If you have a car question or a comment or if you have a dilemma, then you're welcome to give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. That's our number. And I want to tell you real quick about Kurt's Auto Repair because he's one of the shops on our best car repair shop list. You can find that at marksalem.com. MarkSalem.com has the best car repair shops in Phoenix, and these are shops that I personally guarantee your happiness. And we have a process for dispute resolution. The shop has agreed to that, and it's approved. It actually is a part of the Better Business Bureau process, and so you know it's going to be kind of honest and straight and neutral when it comes to dispute resolution. So anyway, Kurtz has been around a long time. He was a winner just recently at the Better Business Bureau Ethics Award, and he did a great job and has always done a great job, and he does domestic and import vehicles, and he works on cars and diesels as well. So he's I-17 and Bell, northeast portion of I-17 and Bell. Been around a long time, like I said, since 1987. He's got Jeff as his service manager, and Jeff is an ASE Master Tech, and then Eric is the shop foreman, and he is an ASE Master Tech, and those two guys are a team that few other shops can actually draw to. So they're a pretty good shop. Okay, I want to tell
Mark
you
is your next caller, sorry.
That's okay. Mark?
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 2002 Ford Ranger, and I have a question about the speedometer. I've noticed that when I drive past the speed limit signs that have the radar in them, the radar tells me that my vehicle is traveling about 3 miles per hour slower than what my speedometer says. And my other vehicles, when I go past these areas, are right on. And the other symptom that I've noticed with it is sometimes when I'm sitting at a stoplight and the vehicle's not moving, the speedometer gauge sometimes will bounce between 10 and 50 miles an hour.
On the Ranger? Yeah. Still on the Ranger?
On the Ranger, yeah.
Okay. Well, they've got two separate issues, and I don't think one's going to fix the other. The first thing you want to do is you want to look at the tire size on the side of the tire, then look on the door sticker on the driver's entry compartment. And if it says a P205-75-14 or 15, then that's the size of tire you better have on there. And if you have a tire that's different from that, it's going to throw your speed off.
Yeah, I checked the tires on the truck, and they're the same as what the label on the door jamb says.
Okay. So probably if you wanted to go, let's set that one aside first, and let's deal with the speedometer issue. I don't know if you have an electronic sensor that feeds the dash or if it's a mechanical sensor that feeds the dash. I would imagine it's electrical because a mechanical is only going to really work when you're sitting still, or actually work when you're moving, I should say. So you probably have some kind of an electronic speed sensor that attaches to the tail shaft of the transmission, and if you're bouncing up and down, then chances are that there's some kind of interference there. And somebody's going to have to go in and look at the signal wave and the sine wave and see what happens when it's spinning the tires. I mean, we'd just jack up the back of the truck, and we'd put it and run it at 10 miles an hour. And then we'd go underneath there and look at what kind of signal that it's generating. And at that particular point, if there's any interference, we would see it on the TV screen. So then we bring it to a stop, and we would expect it to straight line. Well, if it didn't straight line and we had this interference, then we would disconnect the sensor. If the interference goes away, we'd reconnect the sensor and expect it to come back. If that's the case, we'd replace the sensor. So that's kind of a snapshot of what the diagnostic process. Another thing you could do is there's a good speedometer shop just north of Indian School on 7th Street that's been around since Jesus was a baby. And that's a Dick Speedo and Tack. And I know that they do good work, and he would be a guy. And he would also be capable of bringing you in line with the actual speed of the vehicle because it's a percentage as opposed to a number. Okay. So he's gonna be able to dial you in. When that speedometer says 38, then you're doing 38.
Okay. He could diagnose the problem, too.
You know what? It would depend. I would probably have him do his work first. To see if it clears the second problem up.
Okay.
So let's go after. You got two different issues that probably are related, but the easiest one would be bring the speedometer into the correct number.
Okay.
And he's going to have to replace some components to get that to happen. So there is going to be some portion of that that may be affecting the other one.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Good luck to you.
Lorraine is your next caller.
Lorraine, good morning to you. Lorraine, how can we help you?
Mark, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 2013 Chevy Silverado that just started making a humming noise when we turn the air conditioner on. And it doesn't matter if it's cold or outside air, so it's the fan. And it makes a humming noise. It's faster and higher if it's the fan is higher. It's lower if it's the fan is lower.
Okay, so what you're saying is the humming noise underneath the dash is directly dependent, the noise, the humming volume or the speed of the humming is directly related to you switching the fan from 1, 2, and 3, and 4.
Correct.
Okay. It can only be the fan.
So the fan motor?
Yeah. Now, okay. The only other thing, how many miles are on this?
About 25,000.
25,000?
Yes.
Wow.
2 minutes.
And we've had the blower motor replaced once about a year ago. It made a ticking noise, and it was still under warranty, and they replaced the blower motor at that point.
Okay. Does anybody in your family have a bad habit of putting stuff up on the dashboard? Papers, no. Tissues, your husband's beer bottles, anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. And here's why I ask is sometimes we drop in the vents down up on the dash, we drop trash into the compartment where the blower's working. So then we get noises and we get weird stuff that happens in there. And so you take the blower motor out and here's, you know, a pair of dirty socks. I'm exaggerating, of course. And here's, you know, here's half of a cheeseburger and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, we found dead animals in the blower motor compartment. I mean, not a deer or an elk, but, you know, a mouse or a lizard or something like that. So I think that Chevrolet has the blower motor on the engine compartment side. And so I would put my hand, take it to your garage and say, would you be so kind to show me where the blower motor is? And I would like to make this noise happen. And would you be so kind to put your hand on it and see if you can actually feel it? And, you know, if you were my customer, I would do that in a heartbeat for you. I mean, I think if he recognizes you, the shop owner recognizes you, and you've been doing business there for 5, 6, 7 years, I can't imagine they're going to charge you for something as silly as that. So okay. I that's what I would do is I'd just stop at your local garage and say, hey, can you just kind of put your hands there? And I'll just say 1, 2, 3, 4, and you tell me what you think. Then let's switch places. And I'd like to put my hand there, and I want you to get in the car and listen to the different change of the noise. And between that, can you give me an idea what this would cost or what's wrong with it? And then, you know, I'll give you time to prepare an estimate, and here's my phone number. Call me. That's how I would like you to deal with it with me.
Okay.
All righty.
And if I don't have somebody that I would immediately want to take it to, do you have a recommendation?
What part of town do you live in?
32nd Street in Cactus.
35th Street in Cactus. 2nd Street in Cactus. You're going to have to come down to 25th Street Auto, 25th Street and Indian School. Billy's an old racer. He's a gray-haired guy. He's really, really good. I'll tell you, I had a shop up there down the street from you on Bell Road, and he recently sold to someone else, and they don't get to continue the best car repair relationship until they have 5 years. But because this is a corporate, it's going to be a corporate facility, they'll never be on our list because if you have 5 shops, then people don't understand that I'm only going to put my money behind and my mouth behind shop number 2. They think it's all 5. So they're not likely to be on our best repair shops list because it's a multi-facility kind of place. Besides, personally, I don't like them. So the idea...
25th
Street in Indian School. It's called 25th Street Auto.
Okay.
And talk to Billy and tell him this. Mark Salem said that this is a very difficult problem, and he's betting that you're not going to be able to fix it. All right? And that's kind of like waving the red flag in front of the bull. You know what I mean? All righty, Lorraine. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the phone number, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Now I've got a car.
Welcome back, everybody. Alan Salem and Mark Salem at your service. We're here on Saturdays from 10 to 12. You're always welcome to join us. I think next week we're going to have ladies-only show. We're going to just let ladies talk to us, and basically our intention is to side with them no matter what the issue is so that they can tell their husband they're wrong. I think that's a good way to do it. But nevertheless, if you'd like to talk to us today, 602-508-0960. And Debbie and Bill, just hang on just real quick. Let me tell about S&S Tire. S&S Tire has been around since 1976. They have three locations in the north and the west value, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. They have a complete comprehensive line of tires and many, many different brands of the same size. So you can go in and say to them, I want three prices. I want an out-the-door price on your good, better, and best tires. I'd like to look at those three tires, and then I'd like to pick one, and I'd like to wait for you to install them and align it. And they'll do all that for you. So S&S Tire is a great place, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. And, of course, they do alignments and suspension work as well. So if you're in the West Valley, no matter north, south, or west, then S&S Tire might be the place you stop by. All right, let's go to the phones. Debbie, good morning. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. I guess I called in a week too early, but...
That's okay. That's okay.
I had to talk my husband into taking his car back to the shop the same day that we had it repaired. He spent about $1,500. And what it is, he has a 1990 5.0 Mustang.
Okay.
And he's been the first and only owner of it. It's on its second engine, its second transmission. But about 10 years ago, the air conditioning R12 was changed to the next one.
R134.
Yeah, because of the shop recommended that he do this because they wouldn't be able to get R12 anymore.
Okay.
So he thought, okay, we'll just do that. He has not been happy with the air conditioning ever since. He's had multiple parts of it replaced over the years. Yesterday, we drove home from the shop after $1,500 more work on it, and it was blowing over 80 degrees. And he was livid, and he didn't want to do anything, didn't want to drive it back outside. I said, Bill, take it back. So we took it back to the shop because they have warranty, and they aren't going to look at it again until Monday, but... I was just wondering what can we do if the R, whatever the new R number is not working in
no.
his air conditioning. And
no, no, no. They're the ones that told you you needed to do that.
Yeah.
That was a decision that you made based on their advice.
2 minutes.
So you, I would never say that, but I only run my shop. So there's no truth to that. And it doesn't make any difference. Here's the issue. You charged us $1,500, and you didn't make an iota of progress.
Yeah.
Here's the keys to my car, and call me when it's ready, and I want 55 degrees out of the center vent after I drive it for 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah.
And so 55 is the limit. Anything above that, I'm not accepting. Anything below that, fine.
Yeah.
And it's their problem to deal with. They diagnosed your problem. They sold you on a $1,500 repair. They charged you $1,500, and you're driving home, and it's 80 degrees. Now, one other thing. I need 5 or 10 miles of uninterrupted driving before you do another temp test on the gauge, just because of the temp test on the center vent, just because of the last week of 115-plus temperatures.
Yeah.
So, but still, you go into normal, and you bring up the temperature. You're going to take the hot air up and out the windows in normal. Then within 3, 4, 5 minutes, roll the windows up, go to maximum. Now we're recirculating. So think of normal as a swamp cooler and think of maximum as your house.
Uh-huh.
And you should get 55 or less. The issue is that 12 works better, in my opinion, 12 works better in the city. And 134 works a slightly better on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's telling you isn't the truth about, you know, not being able to get 12. I have a couple thousand ounces in inventory, just like every other shop in town does.
Oh, okay.
So it's just not that big of a deal. And plus, we're recycling most of it anyway. So we suck out your 12, we clean it up, put it right back in your vehicle, and we don't have to deal with it. We just charge you a cleaning price, but you get your own Freon back. So that's what I would do. This is not your problem to fix. You need to look them in the eye, and you need to smile, and you need to say, $1,500 didn't get us where we wanted to go. So I'm going to drop the car off. Here's the keys. Call me when it's ready. I'm looking at 55 degree air or less.
Okay.
All right.
It's not. He's not leaking any air into the cab from anywhere. It is the air conditioning system, right?
Well, it is. There's a big fat a pipe coming off the air conditioning compressor and a small pipe. Go drive it for 5 or 10 minutes, pop the hood open, touch quickly the fat pipe off the air conditioning compressor. It should be ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, then they did something wrong. They diagnosed it wrong. They put a condenser in it. It wasn't condenser. They put an expansion valve. It wasn't the expansion valve. They put a compressor in it. It wasn't the compressor. Whatever they did didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's their fault. I mean, it's theirs to fix.
Right.
It'd be no different. If it was my shop, I'd say the same thing. So it's our problem to fix. We misdiagnosed it because we didn't take them a step further forward. Not any way, shape, or form. So you just, you know what? It's women, some women are better served to deal with this than their husbands.
Yeah.
and let me explain. In my world, we've been married 43 years. In my world, I'm Jack the Ripper, she's Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
So the last person that's going to chew the air conditioning guy's butt is her. Because she's going to kill him with kindness, and she's going to, you know, beg for forgiveness, and I'm not. So I just had an air conditioning guy come out to my house, and he said, it's $965. I said, what's the matter? He says, the condenser and the contacts are bad, or the condenser blower motor and the contacts are bad. I said, fine, I want my old parts back, and I'm not going to pay for anything more, because you're telling me that's all I need. So I don't want no guessing. If you're going to guess, you guess with your money, not mine. And he smiled, and he goes, I got this covered. So when he's done, the thing's blowing ice cubes out of the vents.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I want to give him a hug, but I know that he's probably not going to take that well. And I happily wrote the $965 check.
Yeah.
So, all right, got to take a break. Thank you, Debbie, for calling. All righty, we're going to be back. And if you want to give us a call, I think the lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we'll push that button there, which makes everything work a lot better. We're going to go to the phones real quick. Bill, thank you for holding through the break. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. I have a 97 Mercury Tracer with the 2.0 engine in it.
Okay.
It vibrates really bad when you're, like, at a stoplight.
Okay.
But as soon as you drive away, it runs fine. And the car runs fine. It just vibrates.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit and drive in your driveway. And I want you to put it in park and close your eyes, feel the vibration. Put it in reverse, feel the vibration. Put it in drive, feel the vibration. If the only place you got a vibration is in drive, which is what you just said, then the motor mount closest to the windshield is bad.
Well, that's what I thought too, but the previous owner supplied a receipt that said that the motor mounts were just replaced before I bought it. So I was kind of thinking, is there another direction that might be a problem?
Well, are you sure you want to chase your tail, or why don't you just have it? This is really an easy diagnosis. I mean, you put it up on the rack, you put a technician in there, he puts it in drive, and he gives it a little bit of gas with his foot on the brake, and you got a bird's eye view of that rear mount. And if the motor lifts up and the mount is clearly broken, then it's broken.
Right.
So, well, I mean,
that's what I thought too. But he said he replaced it. Was there somewhere to where it goes?
Well, did he give you a warranty or did you buy it as is?
No, I bought it as is.
Okay. So let's shove him aside and let's just get the car fixed. But what else can cause it? Where you got engine vibration being resonated throughout the entire car in drive? Does it do it in reverse?
I haven't tried reverse yet.
Okay.
I have to do that.
All right. I'm telling you unequivocally, if it doesn't drive and not reverse, you've got a bad mount. Now, I don't know if you paid $5 for the mount or $25 for the mount or $150 a mount. I don't really know. I don't know if it was installed properly. I don't know if they got all their bolts tied in.
Did they do them all?
And that's another issue. Thank you for bringing that up. That's another issue because let's pretend that we have a horse. And we put different size shoes on every four of his feet. Well, obviously, he's going to need a chiropractor. But if we put the same shoes on all 4 feet, he's going to stand flat. Well, we can't just put one or two mounts on a car normally without some ramifications. But having a motor mount receipt, I'm not quite sure that would be enough if I was Bill for me to take that and run with it. Because what happens after you spent $200 having everybody else chase down all the other options, and right. then by that time, I would have put the mount in for you. So
right. Well, I'm with you, and that's kind of. But I just thought maybe I'd just run it past you because there might be some other thing that might be an issue.
No, and do you have a garage that you deal with all the time?
Well, my son and I usually do our own work.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's okay. I mean, a rack charge at most places is what, $25, $35?
Yeah.
So if you call the shop that's close by and say, hey, what's your rack charge? Can I just, can we look at that rear motor mount together? Can you put a technician up on the hoist and just kind of have them give it a little bit of gas and drive and raise that motor up and let's see if the motor mount stretches or has come apart? That's all I really want to know because I'm a do-it-yourself guy and I want to fix it myself. I mean, if I was book swamped, I'd say no. But if I was not, and come on over. So it just depends. But anyway, now if you want to, crawl underneath the car, but you better trust your son to be able to stop that thing because you're underneath there. And if he lets go of the brake when he's got his foot on the throttle, then he's going to pancake your butt. And then you're going to think that motor mount and that hoist charge is pretty inexpensive.
Right.
All righty, Bill. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Martin, good morning. How are you this morning?
Yeah, hi, Mark. I'm calling on a Honda, a 2006. Civic, and my grandson's having trouble with the air conditioner. It blows air, but that's about it. They told him it had a leak. I was just wondering if you could give me some help on that and see if Thompson was the closest one to me.
Yeah, Thompson, if you're in Mesa, he's the only one I've got in Mesa. and you know, that says something about him. We have some pretty strict requirements. Uh-huh. And so some of them are good shops, but they haven't been in business 5 years, or maybe they got some really bad reviews, or maybe none of their technicians are ASC certified. Those are things that are important to me. And if I've got $5,000 of my money hanging out there where I say, hey, if you're unhappy, you have a complaint, and the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to give you money or fix your car, and they don't, I will up to $5,000 so you can understand risk and reward. And so the answer is, if it's blown warm, it's going to be easy to determine if it's the lack of refrigerant. Once you do that, then you put some refrigerant in, you start sniffing around with equipment and find the leak. The leak's going to be at a connection or at the nose of the compressor. So once you find the leak, then you bid the leak. And the bid is the part, the labor, the evacuate and recharge, and Freon, plus shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. I can tell you that almost assuredly, unless a Schrader valve is leaking, that's the little bicycle valve where we hook our gauges to. And if you were to put some spit in there and turn the air conditioning on, and if you saw bubbles coming out of there, that would be the first place I'd go. But you still gotta find the leak. But most leaks are going to be in the vicinity of, probably $150 and north of that, just depending on where. Because if you've got the diagnostic and then you've got the evacuate, the Freon, and the recharge, not including the part and the labor, then you're north of $150-$200 with no problem. The deal is he just says it blows warm. Call me with an estimate. They call him with an estimate. He writes down exactly the parts and labor and the amount they say. Then he says to them, "I've got a dad and he's taught me to say, I'm not paying for guesses. So you know I need this to be a fix and I'm hoping that you not only fix it but it lasts way past September and October when I start turning the heater on. And so, you know, make sure you take a look at it. If you say that to Brian and Thelma over there, they'll know I sent you.
Yeah, I've been checking with Brian. I'm trying to convince him to get over there, but he hasn't made up his mind yet, but at least I'll give him an idea of what it could be and get it going.
Tell him on the bottom side, $150, $200. On the top side, $1,000 if they have to replace the compressor or the manifold set and the compressor. But anyway, listen, don't you think that the hot weather is enough to drive him somewhere?
Well, he's doing without now, so.
Well, he's
a
tough.
Unless he has to use it.
Well, that I'm impressed with that because he's tough enough to handle that, and perhaps maybe it's a financial issue or whatever, but if he's still driving it and he recognizes that it's really hot outside, then I don't know. I wouldn't mind if he was my son-in-law. It's a lot better than the alternative. Like my son here, he'd be whining to his mother, begging for money, stuff like that.
Well, I offered, but he doesn't want to take advantage, I guess. Well, you know, they got that car like for $3,000. I think it's worth another $1,000 on repair if that's what it needs.
Well, if he has to put $1,000 into it, that's $100 a month. Maybe you say to him, look, you go have it fixed. I'll pay the bill, and you pay me $100 a month.
That's what I'm being working on.
Yeah, heck yeah. Heck yeah. As one dad or one grandpa to the other, that's what I do. Thank you very much, Martin. Thank you very much.
Shirley is your next caller.
All right, real quick, let me tell you. I got a card in the mail the other day, Alan. It's from a local chain, and it says, valued customer at Salem Boys. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do business with this other repair shop. But here's what the small print says. It's 1999 conventional oil change. But in the small print, and I have to get my glasses on, it says, no cash charge. Charge for additional parts and labor if needed. Disposal fees extra when permitted. Tax and shop supplies up to 15% on non-discounted price, not to exceed $35. So what they're saying is we're going to tell you it's 1995, but then our shop supplies and environmental charges may max your, and the shop supplies and environmental charges are on the old price, which was $40 for an oil change.
Right.
So we're going to tax you based on the 40, but we're going to charge you the 20, but at the end of the day, you're at 35.
Right.
Is that crappy or what?
That's normal.
And then $20 off your select services, brakes, exhaust, suspension, wheel alignments, belts, hoses, headlights, and bulbs and more. Shop fee up to 15% based on non-discounted regular price, not to exceed $35 where permitted. Fees may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii. What the heck? We don't have anything like that at all. When we quote a price of $362.58, it ain't going to be a penny over that.
Right.
So you already know that. Shirley, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yes, I was wondering if you could give me a good auto shop between Gilbert and Mesa, anywhere on Mesa.
Okay. Well, Thompson's Auto Repair is the only shop in Mesa, and he's at Main Street and Stapley. All right, and let me ask you a question. Is Main Street and Stapley closer than Warner and I-10?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a secret, Shirley.
Yes.
The geographical area that my shop lives in, for obvious reasons, I don't have another shop in my geographical area. So my geographical area is Tempe, Gilbert, and Chandler, and Ahwatukee. That's just kind of, I'm close to all of those places. So you can either go north to Thompson's, or if you want, then we are in Warner, just east of I-10, and we're in southwest Tempe. And we're kind of north Chandler and south Tempe. So I give you those two shops. It's not very often I say that, but in your particular case, Gilbert, is we draw a lot from Gilbert as well. So I'm trying to make it easy on you. Thompson's at Stapley in Maine, or my shop, which is called Salem Boys, and Warner and I-10 just east. Okay?
Boys, and what's the phone number?
Oh, 480-598. Now, you're not going to believe this, but my wife made it easy for me to remember. 1234.
Oh.
So I think she says it has to do with my forgetfulness or my age, but I think it's more for her than it is for me, but that's an argument we have at the dinner table. So.
Oh, well, that's great. My granddaughter's having so much trouble with their car, and every time they take it back, it's another $100, and they're just doing.
2 minutes.
Okay. Well, what exactly, real quick, what is it? Is it an air conditioning problem? Is it an overheat problem? What is it?
Oh, apparently a little of everything. First, it was the transmission.
Okay.
And then air conditioner went out.
Okay.
And something else, and we take it back.
Okay.
Take it back.
All right, Shirley, you tell her that if she decides to go to either shop, she should take all of her past bills with her so that we have an idea, so we don't do work that we shouldn't do, and then you still have under warranty. So to have her take all of her receipts with her and have her focus on one thing. One thing. It's got a vibration. It has a brake pull. The air conditioning's not working. There's wind whistling. And there's a noise under the dash or something like that. Have her be specific.
Okay.
All righty? Just one thing at a time. That's all we're going to do is one thing at a time. Have her pick the most important.
1 minute.
And we'll go from there. Okay, Shirley, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Anybody else, my email address is pretty simple. It's mark@marksalem.com. Mark with a K at marksalem.com. Salem is like the cigarette for you older folks, S-A-L-E-M. And you're always welcome to send me an email. If you'll tell me the year, make, and model of your car, and if you'll tell me how many miles it's got on it, and then let's talk about symptoms. It smells like, it sounds like, this is what happened when I do this. That's the way we'll help you the very best we can. You're not obligated to use my shop. I'll help you over the internet. And if you want me to guide you to a shop closer to you, I'm happy to do that. So it's mark@marksalem.com. Every Saturday from 10 to 12, we're here on 960 AM helping you out with your car problems. Doesn't cost you a dime, and we're here looking out for your best interest, not our own. We'll see you next Saturday between 10 and 12 right here on 960 KKNT. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Alan, and we'll see you there next Saturday.